Sunday, June 28th. We left the hotel a little bit before 12 to go to the Mount Olivet Lutheran Church, the largest Lutheran church in the United States. The pastor is Reuben Youngdahl, a very famous minister. And brother, I believe, of a federal judge and a past governor. Service, actually, it was very like the Episcopal. Except I stumbled over one line in the creed that we say, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church. They don't say Catholic Church. After church, we rode in an open car to Minnehaha Park. Part of the time, I sat on the back of the seat with Lyndon. Part of the time, I rode with the ladies. It depended on how thick the crowd was. The occasion was Sven Skarnas Dag Observance. That means the gathering of all the Swedes, the descendants of all the Swedes who had come to settle in this part of the country. They swarmed to the park in great streams on one Sunday each summer. Families bring their picnic lunches, and for miles and miles, up and down the creek, a small river, in the shade of trees, you will see picnic lunches spread. They tell me there's a great variety of Swedish dishes, meatballs, full of pickled fish, smorgasbord-type things, and wonderful pastries. Every now and then, there would be somebody in a Swedish costume, perhaps something that they had inherited from an ancestor. During the day, it's a program which includes all the visiting politicians, with a natural, built-in, inescapable audience. How could the politicians resist? They also have a queen and several princesses of the day. We met them, and beautiful blondes they all were, save one lonely brunette. And they have dances from the parts of Sweden from which the ancestors came. They're all dressed up in costumes of that country and day, and the flag of Sweden was flying all through the park, around the bandstand, along with the flag of the United States. It was very colorful and delightful, the sort of thing my spirit would usually rise to with exultation. But to tell the truth, I feel rather like one of those old-fashioned Victrolas that you wind up, and I'm just about run down, and the record is just grinding along. Partly, I guess, I mirror Lyndon's own feeling caused by this heavy cold. Although he's gotten through 3 hard days very competently, very successfully, hasn't been with that great burst of energy, planning, and enjoyment that he sometimes has. Minneapolis is blessed with this beautiful park, and it is said to be the scene where Longfellow's characters Hiawatha and Minnehaha lived. It was somewhat disillusioning to find that the city fathers had to grant permission to allow an extra amount of water to flow out of a dam somewhere so that the water could really come roaring over Minnehaha Falls. But they did grant the permission, and it is as picturesque as you could ever want. Upon the flag-bedecked rostrum, we met not only the queen and the princesses and all the assembled political figures, but the Swedes who put this great festive holiday together. And then everybody spoke, including once more my contribution of the fact that when they elect a public servant out here, they get the whole family, and that we feel very much indebted for the caliber of people they send to Washington, the Freemans, the Humphreys, and the McCarthys. It wasn't exactly McCarthy's sort of crowd, he being an Irish Catholic, practically everybody here being Swedish Lutheran. Of course, dear Hubert is an adaptable as a chameleon, to borrow somebody else's phrase, where there's life, there's Hubert, which somehow adds an extra twist of ugly poignancy to his son Bob's desperate illness. There were acres and acres of people that we could see from the rostrum all through the park. In fact, all day long there had been crowds lining every street, friendly, cheering crowds. I wonder how much of it is a general air of euphoria in the country, or respect for the office of the presidency, or how much of it is an understanding and liking of Lyndon himself. At any rate, we have progressed beyond Texas. About 2:30, we rode back to the airplane, where we finally, at long last, had some lunch en route to Washington, arriving at the White House a little past 5. Lady Jackson was still here, so we went for a walk around the South grounds with her and our delightful companions, him, her, and Blanco. She's been in upper room the last several days. "Scribble, scribble, scribble, Mrs. Gibbon," as she expresses it. She has several manuscripts to show Lyndon. I think the major theme is the beautification of cities in the next decade. And I find myself now, whenever I go to a city, looking to see what they've done in the way of urban renewal, and looking at it with either a criticizing or an approving eye, but certainly a more alive eye and a more interested eye than I had before I met Lady Jackson. She must leave Tuesday morning, and so I'm glad at least that she's had this opportunity to be with Lyndon. She told us about her little boy, she showed us pictures of him, and of her husband, who looks like just as strong and determined a man as she is interesting and vital woman. She'd been 40 when the little boy was born.